What's up, sea monkeys? Howlin' Mad Manus here. Arr! This is the Scarab Swarmcast. In this podcast, we discuss games, anime, conventions, and a variety of other topics. Scarab is an annual convention in Columbia, South Carolina, and members of the Scarab Swarm can be spotted at various events demoing and running a variety of games. For more information on Scarab, go to www.s-c-a-r-a-b.com. I'm your host, John Manus, and this is the Swarmcast. September 27th, we're over here at Firefly Toys and Games for Scarab's Game Day. We've already got several tables filled with some games. My wife Ruby's running a game of Battle Dragons for a bunch of kids. They look like they're having a lot of fun. I've got a bunch of micro games with me. We just had a group that just finished playing Twilight Creation's Crap or Slap. We had just opened that game, and it was a lot of fun. A little bit later, I'm probably going to be running some Kobolds Ate My Baby, maybe a few more micro games. I see there's some X-Wing going on. There's some Pathfinder Society. I see that Mary's got one of her Savage Worlds games going on. Looks like Z-Files. And it's still early, so we'll see what happens. See if I can find anybody else to come by and maybe say a few words. Okay, so we're here at the Scarab Game Day, and I have somebody with me. Why don't you tell us who you are and tell me what games you were playing today, or tell me what game you played today.
Hi, I'm Broken Corn, and today I played Battle Dragons.
Battle Dragons? That sounds pretty cool. What? Tell me a little bit about this game.
In this game, you get these dragons on a big board, and you fight other dragons to find jewels, because there is an owner that sends you out on a quest to find jewels.
Well, that sounds pretty cool.
And bring them all back.
That sounds pretty cool. What type of... How big were these dragons? What type of dragons did you get to use?
They were, like, big toys.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So cool. So you got to play with big toy dragons...
Yes, I played two of them.
You're sitting there doing it in the microphone.
You just screwed this up.
Yeah, and Matt cannot find the
This is the microphone. We're talking about the game that you guys played.
Yep.
Did you have fun playing it?
Yep.
Can you tell us your name?
Brent.
Brent, okay.
So you can call me Beefus.
All right. Okay. Did you want to say anything else about the game?
I played two dragons.
Uh-huh.
I played a magic dragon and a fighter dragon.
Oh, very cool.
Because one of our players dropped out.
Ah. Did you get to do anything really cool that you thought was really neat in the game?
Well, I almost died.
Okay.
My weakness was something horribly bad.
Do you think this would be a game that you'd want to play again at some point?
Yeah.
Cool. Right.
I think a lot of people would like it.
Well, cool. So you're going to tell people about the game, say, hey, I played this cool game with dragons?
Yeah.
All right, cool. All right, well, thank you, Brooklyn. Thank you for talking to me about Battle Dragons and Brent, Beefus, whatever his name is, wherever he is.
That interrupted this horribly.
So, hey, I hear you ran a game.
I
Who
did.
Are you?
I'm Ruby, and oops, I clapped. Anyway, I'm Ruby, and I ran Battle Dragons. I had about three kids playing it, and they were very vicious, and they killed all my dragons. But I think they had a lot of fun, so.
Were the kids vicious, or were the dragons they were playing vicious?
Both.
Okay.
Brooklyn, in particular, was a little meany. She killed all my dragons.
Oh.
Making them mad and everything. Anyway, it was a lot of fun. You play with toys and you fight dragons, or you can set it up so that you can actually roleplay and play. You roleplay the dragons. So, but both of them went really well so far.
Awesome.
Anyway,
thank you. October 18th, 2014, Scarab Game Day at Firefly Toys and Games. So games have started up around noon. We got a couple games of Pathfinder Society going on. My wife Ruby's running Kerberos Club in the Fate system. We got Liz is running some sort of game. I'm going to assume probably a PDQ game that involves Sky Pirates. And I'm sitting here at a table with a bunch of micro games, including Cthulhu Gloom, I got some snake oil, Stones of Fate, a bunch of other stuff, Agent Hunter, and donuts. Apparently, I am the repository for donuts. So that's awesome. And Dan is on his way over here with all of his munchkin stuff. Oh my goodness.
Caffeine intake needs to keep on happening. It's going to be a long day.
Yep. All right, so we're at Firefly. It's for another game day. This is the second game day within the past 2 months, I want to say.
Yeah, but it might be like the last one that we really have time for before our convention.
Right. I know we're going to be having, November 1st, we're going to be having the charity event, which is kind of a game day, but I think it's going to be mostly Pathfinder Society stuff.
Right. Game days are kind of their own thing, and we like to try and do those when we can.
Right.
You know.
Oh, but hey, while I'm here, let me go ahead and introduce who I'm talking to. Actually, I'll let you introduce yourself. That way I don't accidentally horribly mispronounce your last name or anything.
That will work. I do have plenty of mispronunciations. My name is Dan Del Mater, and I am one of the owners of Scarab. I wasn't one until, I think, after year two of the convention. I was a volunteer up until that point. And maybe already had your interview with Maggie. She is my stepsister.
Yes.
Maybe a story for another time, but how I ended up in South Carolina is because my mom married her dad.
Yep.
That's the short version. Crazier things have happened. It's weird. My mother is one of those people who will get on literary panels and be on the panel, not in the room to listen and comment. In fact, she's going to be doing that at Con Carolinas, I believe.
Oh, really?
She's already a program participant.
Oh, that's cool. That's very cool.
Okay. So, anyway.
So what kind of stuff are you bringing here to this game day? Because I know you're an owner and member of Scara, but you also kind of are a double agent, as it were.
Well, I do work for my secret masters at Steve Jackson Games as an MIB, the demo team for Steve Jackson Games. We're basically just to promote their games, make people want to buy them, by going out and doing demos and having lots of fun. Because, you know, doing what you love, loving what you do, I'm glad to be a part of that program. And it's also going to allow me to expand my own personal game library as well as Scarab's.
Right.
So, yeah, I brought 11 varieties of Munchkin from my own house to this game day.
Yes, it's a big tower of Steve Jackson games. Most of it is Munchkin.
It is about 3 feet tall right there if you put it all top of each other. But yeah, I've got all that and I can run any of it. That'll be fun. The goal with being an MIB and on the staff for Scarab is to get that awareness up, because we go to all sorts of other conventions, not just do our own once a year.
Right.
Big deal.
In fact, I know in November I'm going to be going to like 2 or 3 different conventions, almost back to back to back to back.
Oh yeah, big news in my life is I recently became a father about 2.5 months ago.
Yay!
So I've been out of the world for a spell.
That's understandable. It's happened to quite a few members of the Scarab staff.
Oh yes,
as well.
Around the, I believe the last board meeting, said the last person who announced they got pregnant said, "Apparently, I just drank the Scarab water, and now we're having a baby."
Yes,
I think there's like what, 4 of them now. I've had children recently.
That sounds about right.
Oh my goodness. So wow. That happened. Right, being dad is awesome so far. I'm loving it.
Cool.
And now I can get back into things. Getting back into the swing of things, finding that new normal. Gonna go out there and participate in more conventions, run tournaments, giving out prizes. Yes, being an MIB means I can request, prize support and just random tchotchkes that I can give away to people.
Awesome.
So,
awesome.
Yeah, if I, follow their guidelines, put in far enough ahead of time,
right,
I can say, hey, can y'all send me a box? I don't know exactly what'll be in the box. I might be able to request it, but they just send stuff. But I do have to ask.
I mean, as long as we get some hipster dice or something, that'd be...
Release dates are so mainstream. That's been pushed back again and again. I am going to get some, though. I really want to have hipster dice when that comes out.
I mean,
that'll be a lot of fun.
That's a very hipster thing to do, though, right? Push the release date back again.
I know. it's too fitting. I don't know if they did it on purpose, but it wouldn't surprise me if they did. Yeah, that'd be funny.
We have to keep pushing the date back. That's just the hipster thing to do.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, I think it'll be a lot of fun. Steve Jackson's got some pretty fun dice games. There's a lot of them that are kind of a push-your-luck mechanic.
Right.
But different flavors of that. And while you think that would kind of get boring, the different flavors make it more interesting. You know.
Right. And let's not forget that Steve Jackson Games also puts out, and has been putting out for probably the longest time, role-playing games as well.
GURPS.
I know that's not really something you're pushing because...
Not my forte, no.
Yeah. But yeah, GURPS.
Oh, yeah.
How can you forget GURPS? One of my favorites is Toon, which I know they still kind of promote it, but they don't really put anything else out for it, per se.
There's still things released for GURPS, but they're not all, like, official. You can download, by the way, if shameless plug for Warehouse 23 on the website. Steve Jackson's website, their store is Warehouse 23. You can download PDF versions of pretty much everything that they have right there.
That's cool.
And there's a bunch of it that's free.
Oh, very cool.
So go check that out. I mean, there's a bunch of GURPS supplements, John, for you, instance, that you might be interested in that are free. Sitting right there on Warehouse 23 on the website.
That is cool. Now, I'm personally not a GURPS person, but I know a lot of people who are.
Okay, well, then you can direct
so
them towards the website.
I will totally tell them.
Go ahead, yeah.
In fact, one of them, Tim, he's sitting over there somewhere.
Yes. Yeah, some who call him Tim.
Some people call him Tim?
Mm-hmm. Hopefully he doesn't make things explode as well. That would be worrisome.
Well, I have my suspicions.
Okay. I'm going to take a sip some coffee here.
No, I remember when I was first getting into role-playing games.
Yeah.
We'll just say it was a long time ago.
In this galaxy, not the other one?
Right.
Okay, got it.
And it was like, well, you're either D&D or one of these other games that just happens to be a Steve Jackson game.
Oh.
It's just kind of the way it works.
I know.
So it's like, well, there's GURPS, there's Car Wars, there's...
There's still some really, really dedicated people out there.
And what I like about Steve Jackson games in particular is some game companies... Wizards of the Coast will kind of disavow any knowledge of previous existence of versions or any other games they used to have.
Yep. Not with SJG.
Yeah. They even go, like you were mentioning with Warehouse 23.
Yeah, yeah.
They might be like, well, we don't put it out anymore, but we did put it out.
Yeah, a lot of that content was created by a third party.
Uh-huh.
And has been, I guess, approved so that they can put it up on that website.
That's
because they really weren't able to sell it anyway.
That's cool. I remember a game that a friend of mine, Tobes, used to try to push on us was, what was it? Diana Warrior Princess, which is a Steve Jackson thing.
Okay.
Yes, I said Diana Warrior Princess. It's based off this concept of like 100 years from now, what if a gaming company decided to make a game that takes place in the 80s or 90s, and they had to use these iconic figures? How would they interpret them? So instead of like Princess Diana, it's Diana Warrior Princess. So she's like Princess Diana and Xena kind of combined. You have the evil.
The microphone is not picking up how my eyes are blinking at that concept.
Well, you have like the evil.
That's news to
the
me.
Evil mastermind wizard, Bill Gates, I think. It's stuff like that.
Okay.
It's pretty humorous. I think it's only like a. I think it was just kind of a throwaway, like three or five page kind of thing that Steve Jackson just kind of put together and just kind of threw out there.
Well,
I don't even know if there's an actual game mechanic behind it or if they were just trying to have a good time.
I'm gonna go with that one.
Probably.
Yeah, going to have a random wild concept. I tell you what, in many of my past role-playing days, I did a lot of different stuff for White Wolf in my day.
Uh-huh.
We had a lot of fun with just one-shots, where we would take the setting and just do something totally different with it,
right.
Non-canon. We would invent things to kind of fit in with the mechanics. Why not?
Okay.
Apart from the most people would think of as one-shot games, is you have a special adventure planned, where you have to be pretty pumped up and high-powered to do it. So go ahead and create a high-pumped-up powered character, and we'll put you into this adventure.
Okay.
The other times, it was more of just a wild, out-there, crazy ideas. Like one time, John, my brother, who lives in Florida, hey, bro, he decided to take Besom, Big Eye, Small Mouth.
Oh, yeah.
The revised edition. And we created a game that was a weird, like, superhero game of some kind. And it was just totally off the wall. The humor was so prevalent, we would just, we'd have to stop for periods of time where we couldn't breathe. We were laughing so hard. All right.
Well, I used Big Eye, Small Mouth to make a game based off of the 8-Bit Theater webcomic.
Ooh.
And that was a lot of fun. Everyone else seemed to have fun. I might dust that off at some point, bring it back to a convention or something. Everybody likes to play Red Mage. In fact, Sean Patrick Fannin...
Blasty Casty? Yeah?
Yeah, Sean Patrick Fannin of Shintar claim to fame actually played in my game. And
yeah.
I let him keep the character because he liked it so much. He said, and every time he shows it off, he tells me, all my friends say that this is not just, yeah, this is my character, as in, this is me.
Right. Like, okay. That's awesome. Creating a character that someone like him identifies with.
Yeah. Which is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
I'm just glad nobody's like, oh, I really identify with Black Mage because I'm a psychotic evil.
I miss that guy. You know what? I remember him being a guest at our con in that one year. I was in two of his Shintar games.
Yeah. And last year at King Con in Warner Roberts, Georgia, he was one of their guests, guest of honor.
Yes.
So we got to kind of hang out with him pretty much the whole weekend. He played in a couple of my games. Unfortunately, I didn't get to play any of his games there. But well, he played, I ran a one-shot Star Wars game where everybody is playing Stormtroopers.
Did you yell Die Cobra before you decided to shoot anything and miss horribly? Because that would have been appropriate.
Although I think they did have trouble hitting stuff.
All right.
They were in the desert fighting Jawas most of the time. But the thing was, there was this theme where everybody was kind of like a traitor. So they all had little secret backgrounds. Mm. Except for his. He picked the one guy who was actually playing like somebody who was a diehard, I'm here for the Empire Stormtrooper.
Okay.
He just happened to get that one.
Cool. So, well, my character in his games was I think it was a pre-gen.
Uh-huh.
In the Shintar setting, the Brinchi are the cat people, and I suck at names, so my character was Nalsa, which is Aslan spelled backwards. We pulled off some really epic stuff to the point where he had to sit back in his chair, blink a few times, and kind of go, that just happened. Like, I disarmed a giant that used a tree as a club by climbing up him and using my swords on his hand, that kind of stuff.
Sounds like a cat thing to do.
My brother John set the giant's crotch on fire.
You know what?
Flask of oil, flaming arrow, boom.
I think I heard this story from him at the last King Con that it was.
Yeah, I know he remembers it.
Because he remembers it. Yeah, because he was telling about all sorts of some of the craziest stuff he's seen there. And I remember him talking about this guy setting a giant's crotch on fire.
That encounter was supposed to kill one or two of us. Not only did we win, that was epic. That was a lot of fun, Wayne. I'll tell you, I miss doing a lot of role-playing. I'm firmly entrenched in the game of the board games area and card games. Again, back with Steve Jackson.
Right.
Doing all of that stuff with the MIB program. And all that's great. But I'm at my heart and my core. That's what I got into gaming big time with, role-playing. And I love it.
Yeah. I know you feel.
Oh, yeah.
But I still kind of stick with some of the role-playing games. So.
All right.
Such as, hey, how's this for a segue?
Hmm.
Like, I'm really big into Kobolds Ate My Baby by Ninth Level Games.
Anybody who knows you for 5 seconds knows that.
Which is, kind of a role-playing game. It's sort of like a meta role-playing game that makes fun of role-playing games and everything else.
It is a role-playing game, but yeah, it doesn't take itself seriously.
Right.
I love that.
And because of their big Kickstarter that they did about a year or so ago.
Right.
Where they got the new book that's in color.
Woo.
And one of the stretch goals that they met was, at some point, there's going to be a Kobolds Ate My Baby munchkin.
Ooh, I know. Come out. I know it. Yeah, it's in the works.
I got the bookmark for it.
Oh,
so.
That's true. They have created a bookmark for a Steve Jackson Munchkin game that does not yet exist, which is a pretty good indicator that it will point exist.
Well, the fact that those guys, Ninth Level guys, are pretty tight with John Kovalik, I'm sure that didn't hurt things at all.
Yeah, John Kovalik does the vast majority of Munchkin art for Steve Jackson games already. So Ninth Level, who already has Kovalik on.
Right.
And they work together. It's That must have made things really easy.
I'm sure it was like, well, I'm already drawing a bunch of these little dudes anyway.
I got tons of art already. Let's
I'm
just
sure
go
we
for
just
it.
Slap some cards together. You know, and I'm fully suspecting there's going to be a card. It's probably going to be a level up card that just says All Hail King Torg.
Yeah, and if anyone doesn't say it at the table, they go down a level. That would be appropriate.
And that might actually be one of the rules that goes along with that expansion.
Which would be wonderful.
That would be awesome.
Hey, if it's a blank, if there's a blank card in there, which there always are, there's four blank cards, two treasures and two doors in every Munchkin brand new box. There's one card, I don't care what it will just say All Hail King Torg on it. And then when that hits the table, you're all supposed to say All Hail King Torg or lose a level.
Well, you know, I met
I'm going to write it in if
I have
to.
That'd be awesome. I met John Kovalik a few years back at a StellarCon, and I brought my Super Deluxe Edition Kobolds book with me, and I got him to draw a Kobold on there, and I'll hook him toward it. He signed it. And there were other people there who were bringing blank Munchkin cards, and he was making little cards for him and stuff. And if I thought about it, I would have brought one and said, can you do an All Hail King Torg card?
That doesn't make it tournament legal.
I know, but it's just, but it's fun.
It is cool, though.
It doesn't have to be tournament legal. I can, like, play
oh,
it
but
at
you
home.
Can.
I can play it at home and go, hey.
You can make it tournament legal. Did you know that? With your blank cards, you write whatever you want to in there, your rules, your stuff.
Huh.
Whatever you want to have it, and it can be legal for actual tournament play. If you have Steve Jackson, Andrew Hackard, or I'm not sure, what's his name, is Leonard Balsera? There's a few people, like three or four people within Steve Jackson Games, including Steve Jackson himself. If they sign the card,
then it becomes,
it becomes tournament legal.
Oh, man.
Damien and Kristen did that for their wedding. They had a bunch of cards.
Oh, that's
and
awesome.
I was at Gen Con 2 years ago, and I just randomly bumped into a guy at the Munchkin Tavern. I had no idea who he was. Apparently, he was like a con organizer, director of some kind for them. Sat down and had a beer with him before I even knew that. But I mentioned to him I wanted to get these things done. On these cards, they were all various ways of saying the exact same thing. They were for several different sets. You saw Damien and Kristen get hitched for the Western version. You saw, you witnessed the marriage ceremony of so-and-so for the regular version or whatever. Different fun, creative ways of saying that.
Oh.
And it had their MIB numbers both on it, because they're both MIBs.
Cool.
And I wanted to have that signed, because he asked me, since he wasn't going to Gen Con, could I take them over and try it? And eventually, I got it and made it happen, and there were like 11 of those cards that were all signed.
That's awesome.
And I have a few of them. He's been giving them away to people who were there at the wedding. Or if they were there at the wedding and don't care about Munchkin, he gave them to other people that did care.
Right.
Kept a few for himself, because that's just freaking cool.
Oh, yeah.
I talked to Steve Jackson when I was there at the Munchkin Tavern.
Right.
And he mentioned that since they weren't married yet, that I was saying, oh, they're both MIBs and they're going to get married soon. I think his response was, oh no, what'll happen if they start breeding? It was pretty fun. That Munchkin Tavern was a pretty cool place. I missed Gen Con this last, in 2014, this last time, because of baby. You know, very important.
Baby trumps Gen Con.
That's true, I was still looking at everybody's scarab and their posts on the web, and I was just,
You didn't
miss
it. Nothing happened at Gen Con this year.
Nothing happened. I remember last time I couldn't. I was working in the Sagamore Ballroom for Paizo pretty much the entire time. I wasn't either eating or sleeping.
Yeah, that's kind of what happened to us this year.
But no,
yeah, Gen Con's the best four blurry days of gaming that you may or may not ever remember.
It's the biggest. This is billed, and it's true, it's the biggest gaming convention in the entire world. Gen Con. It is. It's a fact. It's a pure gaming convention, and it's been going on, 40, 45 years now?
Something like that.
Yeah. Paizo comes out, says, hey, Scarab, we want your guys. Let's do this. Help us do our thing at the biggest gaming con in the world. What do you say to that? You say, yes, sir.
You say yes.
I would love to. They've asked us back. We did it again, and we're probably going back the next time.
I'm pretty sure we will be. We're probably going to be getting We're probably going to be getting a couple, at least one Paizo guy actually at Scarab this year.
Ooh.
Because
I have rumors.
Dell's been talking with John Compton.
That's right.
So there's rumors that
There has been rumors. They're actually
I could freely say that is a somewhat substantiated rumor.
Yes, it is.
He mentioned something about Mike Brock, but I don't know if that was...
Maybe. I don't
that
know.
Might have just been Mike Brock pulling his chain.
I don't know, but I'm pretty sure I heard the name John Compton come up more
pretty
than
sure
once.
Pretty sure I did, too.
So what I was getting at with going to Gen Con for 4 days.
Yes.
What do you expect to do when you're there? You expect a game. There were 20 of us there when I went last 2 years ago. We didn't get to, I didn't play a single game of anything all 4 days.
Well, the Scarab staff that goes there
We work. We
get to watch. We get to make sure everybody else is having a good time playing games.
Well, that's what we do even at our own convention in January. We facilitate
that's
other people.
That's very true. That's very true.
And that's great. It's a labor of love. We love what we do.
Right.
And that's evident.
And I keep telling Ruby, one of these days we're going to go to a convention and actually play games or something.
We'll have to take the staff shirt off.
We gotta ditch these blue shirts.
Yeah, put on like a mustache. Say, my name's Fred. I came here to game. Yes, I have badge. It doesn't say Fred. Turn it around. Yeah.
I don't know what this scarab thing is. What are you talking about?
I know what it is. It's awesome.
It's awesome. You should go while I'm here playing this.
But yeah, let's get back to more serious discussion about what's upcoming.
Yay!
About 3 months out.
I don't know what that was about.
I don't know either. There are people going yay. And there was much rejoicing. Maybe they ate one of Robin's minstrels.
I'm sorry, did you say 3 months out?
3 months out.
That's crazy.
Scarab.
That's crazy.
Yes. And currently, I'm in the process of putting some details in order and trying to figure out how many MIBs, since I'm coordinating this part of it, I'm going to have help me out, what games and events we're going to run.
You're just going to go.
Put a schedule together.
And they're going to...
I already know some of them. You know, before I became an MIB, I gamed with them all the time.
Right.
So yeah. So that's kind of in the works. That's happening.
That's awesome.
I'm trying to put together that schedule, see who I can count on being there when, and throw some events together, and we'll eventually get that up onto Warhorn for signups ahead of time. So if you want to come in, and I'm pretty sure we'll have a few tournaments. Details are going to be forthcoming, obviously. Probably post all about that on
on
the Facebook page, several Facebook pages. I had this. I'm probably gonna have to create my own Facebook page as a public figure for MIB 1513 because that's me.
So I can
promote my own stuff there. The powers that be like to see photographic evidence and social media blasting. So I'm gonna be able to do that, put photos and plan events out. But yeah, I'm trying to put Scarab's schedule for Steve Jackson Games together.
That's awesome.
I am going to officially be the con liaison, and that means all the other MIBs report to me. They throw their reports to me, and I put it all together and throw it back to them, you know, throw it up the chain.
That's very cool. That's very, very cool.
So, yeah, we're going to have a substantial presence at Scarab this coming January.
Which is kind of ironic considering your MIBs, your Men in Black, but you're going to have a substantial presence.
Well, yeah.
You think that we wouldn't notice you or only notice you out of the corner of our eyes?
No, in this case, we didn't have to beg and beg and beg the people who will run the convention to let us join and come in.
That's true.
In this case, they accepted our infiltration willingly.
Yeah, we're a bunch of suckers for that.
That's all right. We've had some previous experience with MIBs before, you know, in all past 5 years.
Oh, yeah.
The past four, and this upcoming fifth will be, I'll be running.
Well, we already know it's going to be a good experience this year, so we'll count it as five.
That's a foregone conclusion.
Yep.
And I'm modest to boot. Hey, I win at modesty. Don't forget. It's lonely at the top.
I'm the most modest person there is, damn it.
Don't you forget it.
Don't you forget it.
That's right. I win at modesty.
You should have a big shirt that just says that.
Don't even try. Mine. Fun stuff, man. Fun stuff.
Cool.
So I'm still... Well, since I got here and things have been really... You know, started up kind of slow. Except for Pathfinder Society. Because they filled up, like, immediately.
But those guys are, like... You know. They got to get that fresh injection of... Pathfinder Society, or they go.
We're not that far off, man. Don't knock on. I was that heavily into RPGs back when middle school, high school, back in Florida. I'd do an RPG session twice a week.
Well, heck, I come out here most Wednesdays and run PFS.
Yeah.
At Firefly Toys and Games. So.
Yeah, I know that.
Which is why it's okay if I make fun of the PFS stuff.
Yeah, something about the pot and the kettle comes to mind.
Yeah, there you go.
All right.
It's like I can make fun of podcasters, too, because that's what I do.
Yeah, that you can. You do have the rights and privileges on that one. For sure. I'm going to try and get some games together. There's more people have showed up. Plenty, plenty, plenty.
Yeah. Well, and usually that from the last game day experience, it usually seems like right there at the start time of noon on Saturday, it does kind of seem to be a slow turnout at first because gamers sleep in on Saturdays.
Yes, we are nocturnal creatures by nature.
And so they usually roll in conveniently around 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, right in the middle Those are the early birds, yeah.
The Pathfinder Society people notwithstanding, they'll come in as soon as the scheduled games start, which they did.
Yeah, if we said...
That was awesome.
If we said the game's going to start at 5:30 a.m., boom, they're here at 5 a.m.
Yeah, they're ready to go.
They're ready to go.
45 minutes ahead of time.
They're ready to go. They're sitting across the way at some other table looking for the GMs, and the GMs are sitting at another table.
Probably having some Burger King or something.
Eating some food.
Yeah.
Not wanting to tell their players where they are. I don't know what that's about.
They can see them right there. Okay, we're not knocking on people, but I think this is true of all role-playing. This is true of some role-playing people, that are, even their regular ones. The GM's sitting right there. The room has no walls. You can look right at them, and they're just kind of... The players just mill around. Like, they don't know where to go. They're here early. You know, I don't know.
Well, a lot of the times that's because some players are just either just kind of shy, and they don't want to go... They don't want to yell out, hey, where's my game at? Or, you know, it's...
Yeah, that's all right.
That's all okay. Right. That's why you got annoying people like me going around going, hey, the table's over here. GM's over here.
I do that too.
Well, that's what we're good at.
That's my real catchphrase. It's been so far every time I show up at a con trying to, or an event like this, trying to run games.
Right.
I'll get people, kind of drag them over and say, hey, if you've got some time ready that you don't know what to do with, we'll help you kill it.
There you go.
Make it dead.
There you go. We need to get you a patch so you can put on your shirt that says that.
I put it on my business cards. How's that?
That's even better.
Scarab logo, Steve Jackson Games MIB logo, free time, help kill it.
So I'm going to get some business cards, but have them like be kind of sharp on one side so I could throw them and stick in people's books or something. So I could just kind of be like the Joker or something. You know, he stabbed me in the arm. Oh, Scarab Gaming Convention.
Cool. Oh, hey, the pain doesn't seem so bad anymore.
And if you put like a little coupon or something on the back of that, they don't mind.
Yeah.
It's like, my arm. Free donut. Cool.
Right. Oh my god!
It's worth the lack of depth perception so I can get this free donut.
Speaking of donuts, I might just have to grab one. We got plenty of them sitting out here.
Yeah, we do. We brought some donuts, and then somebody else brought a lot more donuts.
We got like a sugar explosion at this table, ready to go off.
Now, the last game day, it was pizza. Everybody was bringing pizza.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? I'm sitting at the table with all the games, and there's like a big wall of pizza.
And there was people gaming and not eating it. That was weird.
Usually
the smell of pizza in a room full of gamers, that you'll be trampled.
That's true.
You know, it's they were so dedicated there, that this last Games Day event. They were just on it. They were gaming. Like,
I don't have time for pizza. I got to roll some D20s.
I don't even have a stomach. I'm here to game.
I'm here to game.
That's what I'm doing.
Food is for people who don't game.
And mortals.
And mortals, yeah.
Foolish mortals.
Really? You don't think that ambrosia is really just pizza or something? It's just like a meat lover's pizza or
gamer
something like
fuel,
that.
Gamer fuel. How about the subject of gamer fuel?
Okay.
We could put that out for an open discussion.
Sure.
The old Funyuns and Mountain Dew stereotype in the dungeon of Mom's basement is the stereotype, isn't it?
It is. It is.
Funyuns? I'm sorry.
Yeah, they might be tasty.
Might
as well call it gamer food right there.
But you gamer quickly chat. Realize they will make you very socially unattractive. Especially if your name's Harry.
Yeah, Funyuns are just like, they took like, what, all the gross aspects of onions and forced it into an onion shape.
Yeah, I mean, my gamer fuel of choice, actually it is Mountain Dew. There is that. But pizza. Pizza and Dew. I cannot tell you how many Papa John's pizzas I've eaten myself. By myself.
Now, as far as for me, gamer fuel, food-wise, I don't really think there's any particular thing. I like to have something to drink, but my drink of choice for gamer fuel is Mellow Yellow, not Mountain Dew. Anybody tries to tell you that Mellow Yellow and Mountain Dew are
the same thing,
you should punch them in the gut right then and there, because they're not the same. There you go, punch them in the throat and force some Mountain Dew or some Mellow Yellow down their throat.
They are not the same.
They're not the same. Like, waterboard them with some Mountain Dew until they realize it's not enough.
I drink.
I'm just kidding. You should never waterboard anybody, especially not with Mountain Dew.
That's a fact.
That'd be horrible.
That's a fact.
That's a waste of Mountain Dew right there.
That's true. That's the horror of it. It's a waste. But yeah, I drink plenty of Mellow Yellow these days, only because Mountain Dew is not available where I work.
That's crazy. Mellow Yellow is not available where I work. If it was, it would be out all the time, because I'd probably be drinking.
I'm pretty sure that there's some sort of dark magic ritual arrangement of like a contract with the place I work for Coca-Cola only. There are no Pepsi products in the building.
Interesting. That sounds like a conspiracy.
Oh, I'm pretty sure they're open about
it. Coke conspiracy.
I'm pretty sure they're like, hey, Coke only right here. You want some Pepsi?
We like bye-bye. Coca-Cola.
Yeah. Oh, there was something we did. There were Dew commandments posted on the refrigerator. It was your turn in the rotation once in a while to purchase the cube. You had to get the 24-pack.
Okay.
If thou taketh a Dew from yon fridge, it is thine duty to replace it the Dew from outside the fridge. It was written in that like kind of wording.
Okay.
Ye old English. Thou shalt and thou shalt not. We took our Dew seriously.
Dew unto other...
I don't remember the exact wording, but I wouldn't put it past whoever wrote it. Man, we rambled quite a bit, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, maybe we can get that Mountain Dew sponsorship we've been looking for.
You're making me thirsty now. Seriously.
Well, over here at Firefly Toys and Games, on St. Andrews Road, they do sell drinks, including Mountain Dew, but they do not sell Mellow Yellow.
Sad for you.
What the heck's up with that?
Sad for you.
I wonder if I could go to the chef's store next door. I probably have to get like a big keg of...
You'd have to get, you know, a 55-gallon drum of it or something at the chef's store.
I'd be like, let me just stick a straw in this, and I guess I'll be good to go.
I'm sorry. I'm imagining the crazy straw coming out of this thing. You're sitting in a chair next to it.
Because it would have to be a crazy straw.
Your eyes are twitching. You're about to explode from all the sugar and caffeine.
Crazy straw that's like bending around all over the Firefly and everything.
Want to do some games? I'll run 5 games at once. Let's go ride bikes.
Let's go. Let me just get a drink real quick. My eyes are about to pop out of my head, but hey,
all right,
let's go.
I think in pictures, and that was amusing. That was very... Thank you for that. That was a wonderful gift.
You're welcome. All right. Well, we've rambled on quite a bit, so...
I think it might be enough.
Yeah, I think this is probably more than enough.
Yeah, run some games.
Yeah.
Run some games.
So I would say, normally say, so come out and play some games, but by the time this comes out, game day will be over. So...
Then you will wish that you could have come
out. You wish that you could have been here. Oh my gosh, all the donuts flowing everywhere.
And played that 3-foot-tall stack of Munchkin, one of the games that I've brought.
See the big old crazy straw that wraps around the building that's got Mellow Yellow down.
Hell yeah.
Well, thank you for sitting down and rambling, Dan.
Thanks, John.
So, hey, who are you guys and what did you just get through playing?
I'm Mitch.
And I'm Tim.
And we just played Kerberos Club for the Fate System.
Cool. Did you have fun playing it?
Yeah, actually.
It was a lot of fun.
Were you surprised that you were going to have fun playing a game I ran?
Wow.
A little bit.
See, this is really strange being interviewed in front of the GM that just ran the game for us.
Yeah.
No, it was actually really enjoyable. No. It's a really different system from Shadowrun or Pathfinder 3.5 type games. Not much math, all small numbers, all one die size. It's pretty straightforward and quick.
It's very easy to learn for new people.
And it's the Fate system, so there's a lot of other flavors to the Fate system.
Yeah.
If somebody else brought a Fate System game of some sort to Scarab, do you think you might think about playing it?
Probably yes.
Okay. Because I know my friend Jason, who should be showing up at some point, is going to run a Fate System game based off of the TV show Archer.
Ooh. Oh, really? I thought he was going to do Dresden Files.
He's thinking about Archer.
Okay, cool.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah, and he said he's having to rewatch the show so that he could...
Oh no, that must be horrible.
Well, I'm glad you guys got to play. You were my guinea pigs for other conventions, so I jotted down notes about what I need to have prepped and ready.
Not a problem. So do I get lettuce now as a reward?
I have no lettuce. You can have a donut.
Oh, I've had enough donuts.
It's kind of like lettuce.
Cool. Diabetes.
Thanks, guys. All right, so we just got through playing a game of Better Angels. Woohoo!
We're not a lot of Better Angels on this whole thing.
No, we are really bad at it.
So who are you guys, and what do you think of Better Angels?
I am Jason. I am best known for occasionally appearing on this podcast and for absences from said podcast. And I had a blast. It was wonderful being a completely horrible supervillain.
Sorry about the background noise. We are at Firefly during a game day.
Well, that's already... Yeah, we got that.
Well established.
Sorry to be well established, but I appreciate it. All right, and...
I'm Kristen. I mostly hang out at Firefly playing Pathfinder, but I figured I'd try out some other role-playing game and... Oh wow, this one's got some. This one's got a lot of potential. There's a big ethical dimension that didn't happen to turn up very much in our game because we were just bad at being good people who are conflicted. We were just mostly good at being bad people. But there's some definite potential in this game if you got some people who are really dedicated to role playing, good people who just want to placate these terrible things inhabiting them.
Yeah, the potential is there. We're just all, I don't know, you guys are all just evil bastards, I guess.
Well, I saved a bus.
You tried. You really tried. I could see you trying there.
Although, given how my demon who was playing his character, uh-huh. I was expecting him to be a lot more forceful in the trying to tempt me, but no, it really never came up.
Wait, so you don't play your own demon?
No.
No?
The person to your right... Person to your right gets to play the demon that's controlling some of your powers and trying to corrupt you. And
so you're essentially playing two different characters. You're playing yourself and then someone else's demon.
Right.
So you get to really mess with someone else at the table.
Yeah, and I tried. I kept trying to get the guy who was playing the human inhabiting the demon I was playing. I know that's really confusing when I say it
who
like
was
that.
Who was the... Was Rad-X the hero that you were trying to...
No, that no. I had Rad-X.
Oh, you had an easy job.
I had an easy job.
I had the Ghost of Ancient Times.
The Ghost of Ancient Times.
As my supervillain.
Did you want to get on this?
Sure, I got it.
And playing the Ghost of Ancient Time was our good buddy Tim.
Hey, everyone.
What did you think of Better Angels?
It was amazingly fun.
Awesome.
I'm glad to hear that.
I could see how this would be... There definitely would be more impact... in a longer game, like several sessions of this.
The fact that we had someone dragged to hell on a one-shot, I think that really says something about the attitude we approached the game with.
Yeah.
Perhaps if you had more investment into the characters...
More investment? You made your characters. We made the characters.
Yeah, but we made them for one-shot.
I know. But it was still fun.
Yeah, it was. That was still fun.
You got to melt down some kids who were... coming out of a field trip at a museum.
In our defense, John sold me on this game by telling me he was running a supervillain RPG at a Scarab game day. So, yeah, that got me in that mindset there. So
technically not wrong.
Yes.
What kind of dice did it use?
D10s, which was frustrating because I own two. No.
Yeah, I had to share D10s with that. One of the players.
No, if it was D6s,
and even I would have to fish around for some details, but
yeah.
Alright, well, thank you guys.
Yeah, thanks guys. Glad you had fun. Play more games. If you want Scarab at your event or to set up a game day at your business, contact us through our website 4 to 8 weeks prior. The Scarab Swarmcast is produced and mixed by John Manus. You can subscribe to the Swarmcast through our podcast site or through iTunes. If you like what you hear, have questions or suggestions, leave a comment on Facebook or you can email us at swarmcast@sc-a-r-a-b.com. Music on the Scarab Swarmcast is by iFight Dragons at iFightDragons.com, MC Lars at MCLars.com, and Midnight Syndicate at MidnightSyndicate.com.
You know, there's something really special about Thanksgiving. Coming back from tour and confronting the emotional crises in the house you grew up in. Dealing with the depression and alienation of an unconventional and financially unstable career. Ah yes, home for the holidays. I know I'm alone, I'm okay with that. Cause I've been on my own since way, way back. My feelings on the map, well where I'm at, is lost in this desert as a matter of fact. On airplanes, trains, no sleep exhausted. I got too wasted, I guess I lost it. Came home for Thanksgiving, throwing up on the floor. Till my sister came knocking on the bathroom door.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I am. Stressed out about the distro deal I'm chasing in Japan. And the emails from the fans piled up like, damn. Where's my purple hoodie? Probably left it in the van. Horus Records is a label that is very DIY. Maybe too DIY for just one guy. That's why I pile work on my desk hella high. Cause life is meaningless and we're all gonna die. Puking on Thanksgiving. Puking on Thanksgiving. Puking on Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Hey. Oh. Warped Tour England, time away. Ending my relationships every day. But I can't kill myself cause I don't play with suicide, bro. No, not today. But I get so down when I read the news on earthquakes, floods, droughts, and typhoons. And what will Sydney do in 2052 when the city's underwater, got the global warming blue? So I sit back and laugh with the turkey plate. Excuse myself, but it was much too late.
Where'd Lars go?
I think he's taking a bath.
In the middle of dinner?
Dad, don't ask. Crawled into bed, then I fell asleep. Woke up at 4, guess I really shouldn't drink. Time with the family? Not this year. LOL depression, pain, guilt, and fear. Puking on Thanksgiving. Puking on Thanksgiving. Puking on Thanksgiving. Puking on Thanksgiving. Don't tell PETA. Don't tell PETA I ate the turkey. Don't tell PETA. Don't tell PETA I ate meat. Don't tell PETA. Don't tell PETA I ate the turkey. Don't tell PETA. Don't tell PETA I ate meat. Don't tell PETA. Don't tell PETA I ate the turkey. Don't tell PETA. Don't tell PETA I ate meat. Don't tell PETA. Don't tell PETA I ate the turkey. Don't tell PETA. Don't tell PETA I ate meat. Don't tell PETA. Don't tell PETA I ate the turkey. Don't tell PETA. Don't tell PETA I ate meat. Don't tell PETA. Don't tell PETA I ate the turkey. Don't tell PETA. Don't tell PETA I ate meat. I'm sorry I puked all over the floor, Mom and Dad. Touring is hard. I have to get up at 3, sound check at 5, sign autographs, and sell t-shirts and rap. My life is so hard. Oh, God. Oh, next year I won't make a mess. Peace.
Oh, what a Thanksgiving. What a Thanksgiving. Oh. Okay.
Did you record it?
There's a man who demos for Steve Jackson. To everyone he meets, he brings the munchkin. With every show he makes, another card he takes. Odds are he'll be MIB tomorrow. Secret Agent Dan. Secret Agent Dan. They've given you a number, taken away your name. Beware Cthulhu dice that you may find. A zombie die can hide an evil mind. Oh, be careful what you say, or you'll give away the brains. Odds are he'll be MIB tomorrow. Secret Agent Dan. Secret Agent Dan. They've given you a number, taken away your name. Scarab Agent Dan. Scarab Agent Dan. They've given you a number, taken away your name. Demoing at a game store on one day, playing in a convention the next day. Don't you let cards stack while you're showing off Mars attacks. Odds are he'll be MIB tomorrow. Secret Agent Dan. Secret Agent Dan. They've given you a number, taken away your name. Secret Agent Dan, yeah. Tip your wait staff.